Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Passos, an internet radio program conducted by Dr. Damian Goldberg from Los Angeles, California. Damian invites you once a week to share this space to reflect on your work life. How can we achieve results, satisfaction, and well-being at work? How can we find balance between our work and personal life? Prepare for challenging dialogue with Dr. Damian Goldberg and his guests, who are thought leaders from all over the world.
Hi, this is Dr. Damian Goldberg. Welcome to PASOS. For people who are listening to us for the first time, PASOS is a program that focuses on well-being at work. Our goal is to create a space every week to reflect on how we can create workspaces where we focus not only on productivity and results, but also on well-being and satisfaction at work. And every week we have a thought leader from different parts of the world. Today we have with us Nancy Tilim. Dr. Nancy Tilim is a clinical psychologist and executive coach. She has worked for more than 20 years with people from all over the world. And one of the areas of her expertise is emotional intelligence and diversity issues. And today I asked Nancy to share with us some of the models, some of the ideas that can help people to be more effective working with people from different cultures. And I think it's important before we bring Nancy to this interview and this conversation is that when we talk culture here, we are not talking only about ethnicity. Many times when we think about culture, we talk about what is ethnicity. But here we are going to be focused on different kind of cultures, not only the culture of the country or nationality, but also in terms of gender, in terms of generations at work today. It's an issue that we hear a lot, some challenges around that, differences in religion, all kind of differences that make the work environment sometimes challenging when people do not have the tools to be able to effectively manage these differences. So with that, I want to welcome Nancy to our program. Nancy, welcome to PASOS.
Thank you so much, Damian. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
So thank you for accepting the invitation to have this conversation. What is a very important conversation. Nancy, I was doing a presentation a couple of weeks ago for the American Training and Development Association here in Los Angeles, and I asked people what they see the global tendencies and global challenges in terms of work in the workplace. And one of the things that came up was differences in generation. And how do you work with people who belong to different generations? It can be much younger than you or much older than you, and how that can create also some challenges in the workplace. So I thought that today, since our goal is to focus on well-being at work, how being able to work with these different people can create spaces that are healthy. So thank you for being with us today.
Oh, my pleasure. What a wonderful conversation to have, and something that I feel very passionate about.
Yeah, and Nancy, we know each other for many years, and I know that you always have been very curious and interested in researching the topic of diversity and inclusion. And I was wondering what makes you interested in the topic, in just doing for so many years, and even I think that your dissertation was around this topic, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It was an acculturation, particularly back 20 years ago in Hispanics, because I was a new immigrant from Argentina, and I think I was the person who was homesick the longest of all the people I know. I never met anybody who was so homesick. And I wanted to turn my suffering into being able to help others. So when I was in graduate school for clinical psychology, I came up with the idea to develop a training for therapists to help other immigrants. And this, in particular, it was about acculturation and the phases of acculturation. And it's like physician, heal thyself. I was healing myself while helping others heal others. So it's very rewarding. And as you just mentioned, then you start looking at how diversity goes beyond immigration. It can be right in our own neighborhood. And we could have people from the same religion even have diversity, because some are more conservative and some are more Orthodox than others. And we can have people who speak the same language and call themselves Latinos but are from different countries or even different cities, and they have different cultures. And we do see misunderstandings, just like you just said, the generational, because people are having a hard time putting themselves in the other person's shoes and trying to understand what it's like to be the other person. And that's what's required. It's required to bring up self-awareness. That's where we start. And then from self-awareness, to get really curious about what is it like to be the other person.
And I think that curiosity is what many times is missing, because we are so focused on what we want or what we need, that empathy and that interest in understanding other people's perspectives of the world that can be different than ours can be in the way. But before we go in that direction, Nancy, I think it would be good to define what is culture and what is cultural intelligence. So we are all talking about the same. How do you define culture and cultural intelligence?
Yeah, so cultural intelligence is the capacity to function across cultures in an effective manner. And when we're talking about leaders, it's really the difference between those leaders that thrive and the leaders that become obsolete if they're not culturally aware. And it actually it has been researched a lot, and there's different researchers that came up with four different consistent capabilities that emerge or show up among those people who are culturally intelligent. And the first one is drive, which is about a person's level of interest and motivation to persevere with functioning effectively in culturally diverse settings. So it's what we were just saying, curiosity. How interested are you in really understanding the other culture? The second one is knowledge, which is what we are doing, always reading and asking and listening to podcasts and really educating ourselves about what is similar and what is different in other cultures, both generally and specifically. So it's really gaining more knowledge. The third one is strategy, which is the ability to be aware and develop a plan in light of cross-cultural issues, and then, of course, apply it. So that before you meet, if you're a coach, before you meet with a client, to really have a strategy about how you're going to communicate with this person differently than you would with someone from your own culture. And the last one is action, which is appropriately adjusting your behavior for various cross-cultural scenarios, and it's part of having the ability to flex behavior when it's called for cross-culturally, which means knowing when not to go too far so that we don't become insulting to other people or even look too ridiculous because we're trying so hard.
That's a difficult challenge sometimes when we're with culture that we don't know much about that. But that I think my experience, Nancy, when you are truly and genuinely interested and curious and show interest and willingness to understand and work with people who are different than you, people receive that really well. You know, that happens when you go to countries and you don't speak the language very well, but you still try to do it. I think that people appreciate your efforts. It's interesting when you were talking about the knowledge and the information. Many years ago, I used to be an assistant professor for the diversity class at Cal State Northridge, and I remember the curriculum consisted in training counselors to learn and understand the different ethnic groups. So like we have, each class will be a different ethnic group. One class will be Latinos, African Americans, Asians, all in the context, of course, of counseling people in the United States. You know, how you understand this culture, so when you work with them, you can know, have more information about that. But what is tricky is that my concern was when we were teaching this class is that I didn't want a student to stereotype people. I didn't want people to meet somebody from a different culture and rapidly go to that information that they had learned in the class. So I had to consistently reinforce the concept that each person is unique and each person is different. So you can know some background and understand a little bit about the history and understand some of the values of the cultures, but the person that we have in front of us is a unique human being who knows how they relate to that culture.
Exactly. What you're talking about is sophisticated stereotyping, which is you use your best guess from coming from the knowledge and understanding and education, but you have to be ready to see the uniqueness of the person when you meet them and to be willing to be proven wrong about your assumption or your knowledge.
And because for one hand is the information that we can read in books and we can learn like doing searches nowadays in internet, but also is our personal experience, what we have heard from our parents growing up about these different cultural groups, what has been our experience exchanging and communicating and relating to them growing up or in currently in our workplace. So there is a part that is related to the information, the knowledge. There is another part about our experiences and how we can, we need to be careful not to put that in front of us when we meet new people from these different cultures, even when we're talking about generations, different working with people from different generations.
Exactly, and that's where curiosity really comes in handy, because if somebody is struggling at work with someone who is from a different generation or a different ethnic or cultural background, it's important for them to stop themselves and say, okay, is it possible that part of the lack of the miscommunication and the not getting along with my coworker or my colleague is due to cultural differences, and to take the time to go and have a conversation with that person and say, I would like to get along better with you, and I'd like to know what was it like for you to grow up where you grew up? What was it like? And even if you're North American and they're North American, to still have that conversation, because people feel that you genuinely care, that you're genuinely curious, and then that brings closeness and vulnerability, which allows people to put their guards down and feel that you care and that they can trust you. So always coming from a place of self-awareness, what is my culture, what are my assumptions, what are my judgments, what are my prejudices and stereotypes about my culture and the other person's culture. Again, even if we grew up in the same city, there could be differences. And then to really listen to the other person intentively and to create that feeling of we can have this conversation, we can have differing points of view and different experiences and still respect each other and learn from each other.
Yeah, that's a very important point, because it's about not only that self-awareness that you're talking about, understanding ourselves and understanding where we're coming from. And Nancy, I don't know what is your experience, but when I teach different classes, when I used to teach diversity for one of my clients, and people come from very different kind of levels of self-awareness, from people who are very self-aware, who have done a lot of work on themselves, who are curious about understanding even themselves before understanding others. And then you have these people who don't have much self-awareness at all, and they think they know already everything. And sometimes it's very challenging in a working environment or teaching classes on diversity issues for people who do not have the self-awareness, and they don't know that they don't know that they don't have it.
Exactly.
That can be, you know, challenging. And I don't know, what is your experience?
Yes, absolutely. And when I do my trainings on diversity and inclusion, that's where I always start, with self-awareness. Because if we don't increase self-awareness, then we're not going to be able to understand what our blocks are and what our patterns are. And then after doing exercises to bring up more self-awareness, then I move into the differences between cultures, broadly speaking. For example, if we're talking about North Americans being more of the most individualistic culture in the world, and we tend to use the words me and I more. And then people in the East tend to be more, their identity tends to be more derived from relationships with others, family first, and friends and colleagues. And then we talk about the relationships, if it's an egalitarian society or if it's more one that it's the power distance is higher, where the status and the roles in the families and the community are more firmly established by clear markers such as age, gender, family name, place in the family, education, wealth, caste. And then we start bringing up more awareness on, oh, so my culture is high on egalitarianism and low on, for example, physical contact. Or another example would be cultures that emphasize or higher on guilt versus innocence, as opposed to cultures that are more high on shame versus honor paradigm. And these are conversations that are important to have. And again, we bring up awareness of, oh, what is my culture's values, and how does that possibly create a block in me understanding the other person and communicating the other person? And it could be, for example, the physical bubble when we stand next to somebody. Some cultures have really, really close, you know, and they stand next to each other closer. They give kisses on the cheek. Other cultures, that would be extremely disrespectful. So being mindful, again, being aware of where are the values in our culture and where are the values in other cultures, and being respectful and non-judgmental goes a long way in communicating better and getting along better with others at work.
Yeah, it was, when you were talking about these differences, that brought to my memory an experience that I had with a colleague of mine who was a Jewish Orthodox, and he invited me to his home. And when I got there and I greeted his wife, who was a religious Orthodox Jewish woman, I went and with my Latino style, I went to give her a kiss, and then I realized, oh no, I shouldn't have done that, you know. Okay, now it's too late. So I apologize profusely, but you cannot do anything else. And I think that when you work in different cultures and you bring your own to a different one, sometimes you can have these kind of experiences, and it's about apologizing and learning from the experience. Probably I won't do that anymore in the rest of my life, I hope. I don't do the same mistake, because sometimes we, you know, end doing the same mistakes over and over. So I hope that I learned my lesson here. But it's also about learning from the experiences. And sometimes we may make mistakes like this one, where there is not a bad intention, but it's about also being aware and being present and learning from experiences and not repeating a mistake that we make.
Right. Yeah, what came to mind is a lovely example of, I used to work with an individual from Mexico who I respect and admire a lot. And after having lived here for many years, I moved from the Argentinian timing of being an hour late everywhere to being very much on time. And this individual, coming from a culture who values people and experiences more than time, right? So, again, here we are. We're looking at how we value time in different cultures, and it's so easy to judge, right? For us North Americans, it's easy to judge, well, they're not punctual, that's disrespectful. And I think it's important to let go of judgment and look at what else is possible. If we can assume for a moment that it's not a disrespectful issue, what else could it be? And when I got curious about this person's culture and understood that the reason why he was late to 90% of his appointments was because every time he was meeting with someone else, he was taking his time to give them his undivided attention. And the other person was feeling that they were the only person that really mattered to him at that moment. And what a lovely gift is that to give to others.
Yeah, it's interesting because that time, learning that time difference was a big challenge for me when I moved to the United States. So I can definitely relate to that. And Nancy, in terms of your experience working with people from different cultures and training on diversity issues, what other challenges do you see in the workplace around cultural diversity, like, for example, these different understandings, interpretations of behaviors based on our own values? Is there anything else that you see as a pattern that that people need to be aware of and can help them when they're working at in their workplaces?
Yeah, I see a lot of miscommunication when it comes to expectations. I see that managers having expectations of their employees or direct reports and vice versa. For example, for some people, they need a manager who is very much directive, who tells them what to do, and who then leaves them alone. And also another interesting layer that just came to mind that is not necessarily cultural, but it's personality, is introversion and extroversion, which also plays a part. So if you combine the cultural diversities and then the introverted versus extroverted, and you have, let's say, a manager who has a very different style from their employee, then it really doesn't work. And it creates a lot of conflict because the employee is needing something from the manager that is not getting, and the manager becomes frustrated with the employee because people don't feel valued after that. So the problem that I see at work is that people interpret the different styles as not feeling valued, and sometimes also as not, they don't see the employee as engaged at work. Which in reality, bringing this together to the well-being at work, people want to feel that they are contributing, that they can use their creativity, that they are connected, and that what they do at work really matters. So if we have cultural differences that are not addressed, it affects all these feelings of not feeling that their work is meaningful and not feeling connected. So I do see this all the time, and it comes back to what we were talking about earlier, understanding my own personal style. Who am I? What are my preferences? What are my values? What are my needs? And if I'm not getting that from my colleagues or peers or managers at work, then we need to have a conversation without judging each other, without blaming each other, but expressing this is what I'm feeling right now. This is what I'm not getting, and this is what I'm needing. What is it that you're not getting and needing from me, and figure out how we can meet halfway.
And I think that, Nancy, I don't know what is your experience, but I have seen many times when I have been asked to do diversity training, because I have also been doing over the years different cultural competence trainings, that many times I will be called at the company to do a training, and the reason is because they say there are here problems in culture. But then when I start asking questions, I realize that the problem is not really a cultural issue. It's more a management issue. If managers don't have the skills to manage people, and they think that it's a cultural problem because people are from different cultures. But the problem is not a cultural problem. The problem is a management problem, that
right.
The boss don't have the skills to effectively listen to their employees or effectively show empathy and understanding of their people. So I have not seen that. So sometimes it's also important to distinguish when there is a challenge at work, if it is a cultural competence issue or not.
Very true. I'm so glad you brought that up, because that is very frequently the case, where people who are very capable and who meet the target of the organization, whether it's money, numbers, however they measure productivity, they're very effective at that, and then they get promoted to become managers but never receive the training or were never even asked, would you like to be a manager? Do you enjoy managing people? Is that an area of growth and interest to you? And people have to take that position because it's either that or they don't have a job, and it's exactly what you just shared with us, that they don't have the skills to manage others.
I think that sometimes it's important when we look at cultural issues at work to identify if it is a cultural issue or if it is something else, you know, to have that curiosity. So, Nancy, to start wrapping up our conversation today, is there any other idea or point that you would like to share with us before we start wrapping up the conversation today?
Yeah, I think an invitation to everybody listening to go out there in your own town and seek activities and events, fun activities and fun events in your city about different cultures. In Los Angeles, we have a lot of different cultures, and there's constantly festivals and outdoor events where you get to taste the food, see the dance. Go out, have fun, and talk to the people, and be curious, and show them interest, and I promise you it'll be a rewarding experience, and they'll be happy to share it with you, what it's like, what are the values of their culture, and to try it on. Try different values for a week and see how it feels to honor them and expand what you already have in your life. I think you'll be happily rewarded.
Thank you, Nancy. These are great ideas. And I was, when you were sharing these ideas, I was thinking that other something else that also can be done is going back to work and see people from different ethnic cultures or different religions or different generations or, you know, different values than yours, just to be curious. Instead of feeling uncomfortable, this is what usually experience. When somebody is different than us, we feel uncomfortable because we don't know them, because we don't understand them, and sometimes people don't like them because of that. But instead of seeing it as an opportunity to learn from them. And so maybe another idea would be just to go to colleagues at work and have lunch with them and ask them questions, be curious, learn about their cultures, learn about their lives. I think when we learn more about people, we realize that we are different, but also we are similar. Sometimes we forget that there are many differences, but at the end of the day, we as human beings, is what you were saying before, Nancy, we want to contribute, want to make a difference. Most of us want to do a good work at work, and we want to relate, we want to belong, and we want to be happy, we want to have satisfactory lives. So it's important also to connect with not only understanding and connecting and learning from the difference, but also looking at what may be similarities that we oversee.
Yeah, I feel that much of the suffering at work is people not feeling connected. And when it comes to cultural differences, there could be a disconnect. So if they do what you just said, show interest, take them out to lunch, invite them out to lunch, and ask them about themselves, that they will feel more connected, and that will bring a lot more joy to their work day.
Nancy, it was great having you in our program today. If people want to connect with you, where should they reach you?
Thank you. I can be reached through my website at www.nancytylim.com, and all my contact information is there. Thank you so much for having me. What a pleasure it is talking with you always.
It was great having you here with us, and I hope that this conversation is helpful for people. And I want to thank all of the people who are listening to us today, and I want to invite you to share this link with your colleagues, your friends, people who can benefit from this discussion. You can download the link in our social media or in our website. So thanks, Nancy, one more time, and thanks everybody who are listening to us today.
Thank you for all the wonderful work you do.
This is the end of PASOS, conducted by Dr. Damian Goldberg. Thanks for sharing this program with us today. We hope you find today's conversation challenging and stimulating. You can download this program and share with your colleagues in our website.